Welcome. Good.
No, you said it last time.
This is off to a great start.
As always. Welcome to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon. As usual, I'm Max.
I'm Nikki.
I'm Nikon, and together
we're Max, Nikki, and Nikon. Okay, two things happened there. I wasn't sure what you were going to do, if you're going to go, and I'm Nikon, or if you're just going to go, I'm Nikon. But then you kind of went right into the collective part, too. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, you're like, on. I'm Nikon,
on
and
toes.
Together we're... First off, I do want to address the elephant in the room, which is that I am wearing a V-neck shirt right now. I only wear it around the house, by the way, or to sleep.
Wait, move your mic. I can't see it. I can't see the V. It's just, okay, we'll keep going.
It's a small V, but I don't ever do that personally. I don't ever do it in my outdoor life, in my normal life.
Can you say more about this? Is there a certain connotation?
You really want to know more about this?
Well, just the fact that it was brought up at all is...
Well, it's just not a... It's not me. It's not a thing that I would do, personally.
Wear a type of t-shirt? I don't understand.
No, a V-neck t-shirt.
What's... You gotta expand here. What are you trying to get at? Are you trying to say
that
there's a certain...
He would not wear a V-neck t-shirt for my
outside.
Own...
Outside.
No, outside, just for my own personal fashion sense. Now, I think it looks good on other people. I've seen Nikon, you wear a V-neck, and I think it looks good on you. But for me personally, it doesn't match my personality, I don't feel.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that was to me, it's just like an undershirt, basically, that you wear sometimes. I didn't think there was like a...
People wear it as a regular shirt, too.
Sure. No, of course, as I do.
You have, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But like, I guess I'm trying to... Is there? I never viewed it as a form of expression, but I guess everything, anything you put on,
you
is
say absolutely a lot, Max.
It's okay.
Max was just go absolutely, but
you
got to
say something. Here's the thing: I say absolutely a lot too, but it's like you got to say something. Like you can't just sit there quietly and nod.
That'd be funny. It is a podcast, after all. Some people listen only to the podcast.
That'd be funny if we just sat here for a minute of silence.
Exactly. And I might say, okay, well, I say exactly too much, so I'll switch over to absolutely, and I'll say absolutely too much. It's like you got
to
be.
I was about to say absolutely, and Nikki was going to get annoyed with me for saying
that. No, here at Nikon, the real deal is that Max says absolutely. He says that a lot when we're arguing with each other, and it annoys me now when he says.
He's trying to acknowledge. It's because, that's a whole different, that's like a Pavlovian response, I think.
Maybe. Sure.
It makes salivate.
Nikki makes
me salivate.
Eat something after.
Makes me salivate when Max is absolutely.
Okay, but back to the V-necks.
Okay. It's just not a thing that I do, except for pajama wear, really,
you know what?
Yeah. And I am in my pajamas right now.
But what is it about the V-neck versus the crew neck that's even like notable? Really, what is it? What is it?
What, are you kidding me?
The V-neck shows more skin.
I said absolutely.
No, okay, it shows more. I mean, marginally, especially with that shallow.
I know Max's is like.
No, I know, but it's just the crew neck is a little more classic style. Well, actually. Yeah, it's just more classic style for me personally.
Maybe it's a little more modest. Do you feel like a little racy because you're showing like to
it just
point,
feels like it's doing too much a little bit.
But I would argue that it actually serves like it's
no
I think it's more.
I, it's more
like, what do you say? Like ergonomically attuned.
Attuned to the physique of your body. Is that what you're saying?
Or something. Yeah.
That's what some people say, but I just can't get on board with it for me personally. It just doesn't go. It doesn't match the personal style that I like. For
I get
me.
What you're saying.
I think it works for other people.
Can I, Max?
Let me say, I'm not trying to play dumb here. I know that like maybe 10, 15 years ago, like there was.
Oh, trust me, you're not playing dumb.
There was a certain type of guy who would wear a V-neck, right? But I think we're past that point where I think just V-necks have been normalized.
I guess I'm not past it.
Hold on, for my personal taste.
I actually,
well, clearly,
you know,
you're
Nikon, I've seen you with a I've seen you with a, like a white V-neck.
Sure,
and it,
yeah,
it makes you kind of look like a 50s greaser, which I think is cool.
No, that's incorrect. That's not correct at all. I'm sorry. I don't think that's correct because a 50s greaser would wear a crew neck. They wouldn't they definitely wouldn't wear a V-neck.
Well, maybe Nikon is a 50s greaser for the modern era.
From the future.
So it's 2050 greaser.
A 1985 greaser.
Hey, but here's the thing, Max. Right now you may say it's not you, but maybe down the line you will like wearing V-necks. You know, when I was
I think we're catching you in the midst of a metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis?
When I was in high school, when I was in 9th and 10th grade, wearing jeans was not my thing. I was like, I don't wear jeans. But then in 11th grade, I saw a friend wearing jeans. I'm like, I like the way that looks. I think I'm going to have to start wearing jeans. And now I only wear jeans.
It's just, look, my body type doesn't work with V-necks, I feel.
I get it.
Maybe you got to work out a little bit more, and then we will become.
Yeah, but then
what's your chest hair situation? Is it minimal?
It's a fairly minimal.
No, he's got some chest hair.
Well, I mean, but
not as much as you, Nikon.
Well,
Nikon, but
listen, this was not a. I did not bring it up just to talk about.
I actually
my own
think.
Chest hair.
I actually think that we may have more chest hair than Brent does. Actually,
okay.
I think that's correct.
All right. Well. I was just curious if it's
we had a little more steak growing up, I guess.
More or
here's something that
that's
I've been realizing.
I would always say, hey, eat some of the steak; it'll put hair on your chest. That's what he used to say.
Here's something that I realized recently that I never thought was me was wearing button down shirts without a white undershirt. You know, but lately I'm like, you know. Wearing that undershirt underneath a good-fitting collared shirt, button-down shirt,
sure.
You know,
yeah,
it seems a little like restrictive almost. It's not as relaxed almost, you know.
Well, definitely not. So, what are the arguments for and against wearing an undershirt?
I guess the argument against would be if you are a sweater. Not a sweater, but if you're somebody who wears,
somebody who sweats, it's going to sweat through your
the button down shirt.
Right. Button down shirt, which you don't want.
I think that's the original reason for.
But it's kind of a chicken egg situation. No, I guess it's not because I'm gonna. So I'm one of these sweaters to which you refer, and I'm gonna sweat regardless. But I do think I will sweat more if I wear an undershirt, and so I usually just don't anymore.
Interesting.
Just embrace the fact that I'm gonna sweat.
You used to wear them underneath.
I did, but I just felt again. I felt if my breaking point was 70 degrees without an undershirt, it would be 68 degrees with an undershirt. So it's like, what's the point? You know,
that's okay. Hey, you just reminded me of this question. I don't know if I brought it up to you before. It's something that our older brother has been debating with some of his friends lately, and that's. If somebody is eating a meal at 4:30 p.m., Nikon,
in
your most objective way,
yeah,
and you see somebody eating at 4:30 p.m.
That's late lunch.
Oh, there
is
you
it
go.
Lunch or dinner? Yes,
it's late lunch.
Thank you.
Very good. Good answer,
Nikon. Well, first of all, what are your reasons? Why you say that? And second of all, you would not believe how many people think it's an early dinner. Go ahead.
I don't think I believe in early dinners. I just don't believe in early dinner. That's it. I don't think it exists. It's like saying an early breakfast. No, I don't know. I don't know. Or like an early lunch. There's no such thing as an early lunch in my mind either. It's either breakfast.
That's right.
Okay.
There is no early lunch.
Nikon, let me ask you this. What are the designated times for breakfast? Between what hours are the designated time for lunch? And between what hours are the designated time for dinner?
Breakfast, this is going to sound crazy, no designated hours. If it's your first meal and it feels breakfasty, then it's breakfast. It can be 1 p.m.
Nikon,
because like we also have to accommodate for... for night owls, for comedians.
No, look, Nikon, I agree with you, but we're talking
objectively.
About objectively for like kind of generalizing okay, the population.
Like
of
for example,
America,
you would say this in general, breakfast is a morning meal, right?
In general.
Okay, so yes. I'm saying in general, what's the cutoff point? What are, between
That's
what
why
hours
they call
for,
cereal general meals.
Between what hours for each meal?
I don't know, stupid.
I mean, I would say, I don't know, 5 a.m. If it's before 5 a.m.
5 p.m.
Crazy. No, I'm saying if it's before 5
a.m. No.
5
You're talking about breakfast.
Oh, breakfast. Oh, I'm
like
sorry.
If you have a meal at 4:30 a.m. because you just woke up, that's still breakfast. I guess I would call that like an early morning snack. I don't know. I feel like I'm overthinking this. I think breakfast is, like I said, it's the first
breakfast
meal.
Breakfast is what you eat when you wake
hold
up.
Max, hold on.
It's your first meal of the day. It doesn't matter. Some people eat as soon as they wake up. Some people eat a breakfast after they go to the gym or whatever it is. And that might be 1 p.m. If that's your first meal and it's breakfasty, then that's, if it's not a, you know, it's not a club sandwich or even a club sandwich. I don't know. I don't have strong definitions here.
Okay. So
all I know is that.
Okay. Then would you agree
dinner.
With this statement?
What?
Breakfast is a morning meal in general.
In general.
Lunch is a noon afternoon meal and dinner is an evening nighttime meal.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Okay. So this is our argument. And evening.
You don't have to persuade him anymore. He already got
it. No, I just
well, he
for
just
other
wants
people
to get it out there.
At, sure. At the very earliest, evening starts at 5 p.m., right?
Sure.
So a meal before that, 4:30 p.m., would be a late lunch because we're still in the afternoon hours.
I just don't, again, I don't, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about like going out to a meal?
Sure.
I think it matters if it's
if you see somebody eating at a restaurant at 4:30 p.m., would you automatically think
they're clearly, I don't know, they're in some kind of extreme situation where they're so hungry that they need to eat right now.
But would you, if you saw that person, you would think, oh, they're having a late lunch.
I would just
right?
be like, all right, they're having a meal at a weird, I don't like whatever. I don't care. I don't care is what it comes
also,
down to. But I just
my other argument is that people work from 9 to 5 usually, and so they're not going to be having dinner before they get off of work. That's
how
just not
many people are we encountering that are having this meal at 4:30 anyway?
Well, we worked as waiters in the restaurant industry, and let me put it this way: we would not be allowed to even give a customer a dinner menu until 5:30 p.m. usually, and
no, that's
we often wouldn't
restaurant.
Even serve dinner until 6.
Now, I would argue, though, it kind of depends on where you are in the country, actually, because there are some people that are more rural and have more rural lives that they might get an early start on things, you know? I mean,
I know, but Max, we're talking about the average person.
I know.
And we're not talking about old people either, you know, those that live in a retirement community in Florida.
Look, I know. That was my argument, too, originally, was there is an episode of Seinfeld where they tell Jerry.
Yeah, of course.
Del
Boca Vista.
Yeah, they're about to go eat dinner at 4:30. He's like, I'm not going to eat dinner.
I'm not
going
to force myself to eat dinner at 4:30.
And he's just like, it was unheard of because they were like, you know, we got to get the early bird special. And it was a joke. They were making a joke out of it, you know, how early these old people were. And they were, I feel, doing it for exaggeration too, you know. I
mean, sure.
Of course.
Anyway.
Any
Let's
Hoosiers.
Move on.
Great
anyway,
segue.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was the was it
the 75th anniversary of the New York City
Ballet? Yeah, it's very fun. It's so I guess I never realized they don't have like you know, they don't really have reunions other than these every 25-year markers. So the last like reunion for anybody who was a dancer at New York City Ballet was the 50th.
Whoa.
25 years ago. So it's kind of like a high school reunion that's across any generation of any dancer who.
So did you meet dancers from way back when?
Yeah, a handful. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So the next one is going to be the 100th. So,
whoa,
wow,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. How was speaking of anniversaries? How was the what was it? Six year anniversary.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool. We did it under St. Mark's Theater, which we hadn't done in a year. We hadn't done a show there in a year.
Yeah, and actually, I ran the show with a clicker for the most part.
Well, so we didn't want to. They were like, the theater said, all right, if we have a tech person come in, we're going to charge you $75 for that. And we're like, screw that. So during the show, I'd be running up to the tech booth and then back down to the stage.
Right. Well, but I was just controlling the slides and stuff with a clicker.
Oh, we had slides, yeah.
No, but even just moving to the video and stuff like that.
Anyway, it was pretty cool.
It was pretty good. I feel like maybe I should have practiced that a little bit more.
Well, no. I'm not talking about that in particular. But the show was pretty good. Yeah.
No, I mean, it went well. Yeah, it went well.
It went well.
Great.
Anyway, do you want to station? Oh, hold on. Before we do anything,
yeah, I just want to say what went well about it. You know, Joe Firestone was really funny as usual. Louis Katz had a really funny set, I feel. And Eudora Peterson, always really funny and committed to her characters that she does.
And magician Christian Cashgall, who we first met in
San Francisco,
he did the show.
He really rounded out the show with a nice magic
intimate close-up magic.
Yeah, well, that felt really good. It made it feel like a real something special, actually. I feel.
Cool.
Yeah. Other than our own, you know. Stuff.
Well, of course.
Anyway, just want to say this now up top.
I just want to say this now up top.
Okay. If you're not already subscribed on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button for this Splitting Hairs podcast. youtube.com/@splittinghairspodcast?
I believe so.
Please rate and review us and follow us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, etc. Okay. Station business.
Bum-ba-dum. Station business.
First things first, if you're not already aware, Max and I, our band, Silhouette City, released a new EP, in the middle of August. And
it's out on any of the streaming platforms, wherever you can listen to music.
Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube. The album is called
Who Do You Want to Be?
That's right. And if you like the Beatles, if you like the Beach Boys, if you like the Smiths, if you like the Zombies, Burt Bacharach, Antonio Carlos Jobim, all those influences can be found in our own music. And
the band is called Silhouette City. Why don't you give us a follow on Instagram at Silhouette City Band, and just find
you guys
us on
Instagram too. I don't know if I follow you guys yet.
Well, you should.
You're about to get a follow right now.
All right.
Silhouette City Band. Silhouette Challenge.
Silhouette.
I just never go on Instagram.
Sure, yeah. Well, you probably initially were following Little Person.
That's right.
But
we changed the name from Little Person to Silhouette City
for this latest release. Check that album out. And you can buy it if you want
on Bandcamp at silhouettecity.bandcamp.com.
Now, second order of business.
Oh, I do want to mention. Well,
hold on. Let's give Nikon
a moment.
Nikon a moment.
I got sidetracked with your guys' Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Seeing the first post that has all kinds of famous people in it, but I'm gonna save that for the listeners who want to join you.
That was a long time ago.
Don't give it away. A lot of famous people.
It's not, I don't know if there is.
Yeah, just go ahead.
Anyway, what are you going to say, Nikki?
I was going to say, real quick, on October 17th, I think it's a Tuesday night, we will be opening for Reggie Watts at the Bell House.
Oh, baby.
So if you want to see a really great show.
It's sold out, actually.
But the it is.
So don't bother.
Well, no. Hold on. You can get in this. I'm sure there's standby line tickets.
There might be.
And also, if you're in New York,
I think it's sold out. If you should double check. Don't take my word.
If you're in New York and you are a friend of ours, or if you just feel you're feeling lucky, why don't you message us and maybe we can put you on the guest list for it.
Ooh, so, I like that. I like that. Yes.
If you're a Google, you're feeling lucky. Remember that? I think it's still there, right? Yeah. I'm feeling lucky. I remember using that back in the day, though, but I have not done that in years.
I'm going to try to buy a ticket right now. You said October what?
17th.
17th. This says 18th.
There's one on the 18th as well.
Ah, okay, sorry. well, you know what? No, what? The 17th? Okay, anyway, this is a waste of time. Let's move on.
I think.
Reach out. I think yeah. Reach out.
In touch, Faith.
That free ticket.
Hey, and Nikon, if you feel like you want to go, of course. You know.
I think you'll have to message us too.
Yeah.
I saw you guys open for Reggie Watts at the Bell House
four years ago.
Was it 4 years ago? Yeah, there we go.
It's kind of hard to believe.
It was awesome.
Hard to believe.
An awesome show.
That was one of the best shows we had for sure.
And this one will be equally awesome. Probably
actually
more
maybe
awesome.
Better because we'll be doing some material that we
I am on the Bell House website. October 17th says sold out.
Ah, okay.
What are you looking on, Nikon?
I'm looking at the Bell House. It's just not even showing up. Maybe
on the website.
It's
totally showing up. What are you talking about?
Oh well.
Anyway, so that's what's happening. Max, did you want to announce something else?
I do want to announce...
you're right. It's sold out.
anyway.
Don't go to the 18th because you're not going to see Max and Nikki before.
Sure. Unless Reggie is like, man, they did such a good job opening for me. I want to have him on the 18th too.
But I think generally he likes to have, you know, spread the...
Sure.
Spread the love, you know, and get another opening act for the other night. Anyway... I do want to mention, I will be, you know, we're putting on a staged workshop, as I like to call it, but it's more than a staged reading, not quite the full production in that.
Of what?
I'm about to say it.
I noticed this, you do this a lot, Max. You always have a really long setup to what you're about to say.
We don't have to mention this
so
over
much
the
so
podcast.
That it's almost like... People are going to get confused about
like
what you're talking about.
I like to keep them in suspense
on the
edge of their seats.
It's not even that you're keeping us in suspense. It almost sounds like you're stating this clause.
It's like a run-on setup.
It's like a run-on setup
they
where you're like, okay,
they often do that in legalese.
No, but it's so much so that
I have the lawyer in my mind.
I'm notoriously incomprehensible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to confuse the people so that I can get all their money.
But Max, you do this a lot where... I'm confused. I can understand somebody being confused about even what you're saying in the setup. Like,
right.
It doesn't even make
you
sense.
You can say that in a nicer way, you know that, I feel. But
oh,
anyways.
Come on. Wait,
I'm just saying.
Nikon, am I being
mean? I'm just saying.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Nikki clearly has a point. but could he choose a better time or way to express that point? Of course. But
yes.
I think what we're all witnessing here is... a relationship that has spanned your guys' entire lives.
I still would say that, Tim, after the podcast. I would say, calm down, ease up here.
Hold on. See, Max has a way of misinterpreting the tone that I'm speaking with.
No, I don't think he's offended or anything. He's probably like, listen.
After the podcast, he's
going to
be
right
like,
now.
You should apologize for the way you said
We're
that.
We're still waiting for the full sentence.
I'm just saying, well, see, or even right now, you're like, come on, just, all right, take it easy. I mean,
no, because we haven't gotten in a grammar corner yet, but this is something that I would have a gripe with. Anyway, go on, Max.
Anyway, it's just, we'll talk about it later, but it's just...
What we're seeing here is that, you know, you guys are an extension of each other, and I'm not just saying that because you're twins. Like, anybody that you have, like, an intimate relationship with is kind of an extension of yourself in some way, and the closer you are with that person, I think, the more... The more comfortable you are being critical of them out loud in front of other people.
You can, yes, I agree with that. But I also think that you should be aware of the other people you're in front of, you're speaking in front of.
Of course. And I think that's where we're at right now.
My objective was not to be mean or anything. It was just,
of course not.
Anyway,
I know you're your objective. I'm just saying just not being conscious.
All right.
He's got feedback on your feedback. So that's,
yeah,
that's
I'm just saying, yeah. All right. Whatever.
And we're still waiting on,
okay.
On Max's.
We're putting on the staged workshop of my musical.
Well, why didn't you say so?
We're putting on the staged workshop of my musical in November at the Pit. It's going to be Saturday, November 18th. Wait, let me just double check that. It's that Saturday. Saturday, November 18th. The Saturday one is going to be a matinee show. It'll be 3:30 to 5:30 p.m.
Sweet.
And there's going to be a Sunday show November 19th, and that'll be from 7 to 9 p.m.
I am here for it.
It's not quite, I think we're still, you know, I have to look
if at. Thanksgiving is on the 30th this year, right?
No, it's on the 23rd, actually.
Oh, man, I'm not going to,
Oh, you don't have to work? Like in the preceding days?
I do, but I can work from anywhere, you know.
Oh, so. Okay.
Just to point out, and this is splitting hairs, what you could have said, Max, was we're putting on the stage workshop of my musical, A Match Made in Hell. I like to call it a stage workshop, but it's more... You could have explained the stuff after you had said it, and people wouldn't have been
Nikki,
more confused.
I understand.
The classic structure of like... headline.
It's okay. I get it. You don't have to. I'm not like disagreeing with you. I'm just saying you got ramped up about it.
Oh,
I'm just
no,
like,
I know,
hey,
but I
easy.
Think you're misinterpreting me getting ramped up about it.
I feel that you were getting pretty ramped up. Actually,
I think whatever Max might think, I think he might also agree with this, that there's probably a time and place for this kind of thing, and probably not in the middle of his trying to get his point across. But with that said, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yes. Yeah, so, going to be putting this musical on. A lot of hard work. It's going to be like a piano reduction version, I will call it.
And if you... We're actually looking for cast members right now. If you sing...
If you are an actor who sings and... Should be able to sing well, I should say.
Or a singer who acts.
Please message us.
Or if you're a singer that sings well and would like to just be a part of the chorus, actually. I have a couple of chorus parts that need to
Please send us an email at maxandnicholas@gmail.com.
Or direct message us on Instagram at maxandnicky.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to be fun. So, anyway, gosh. Boy, that's... We've taken quite a bit of time.
I am in the midst of cleaning up some of the sheet music for the pianist, actually. It's taking a long time, actually.
But all right.
Anyway.
Nikon, any station business?
No, I don't believe in station business.
Let's all right. Onus Optics, check him out.
No. I don't even want to do that anymore.
Protect your eyes
business.
And your nose with Onus
well,
Optics.
Okay, station business. Go there, let's do it.
Well, boy, by the way, well, you don't really need to protect your nose right now unless you want to protect it from the rain because, boy, oh, boy, it was raining yesterday for sure a lot. I mean, it was a lot of flooding
here in New York.
In New York.
Yeah, there was.
Did you go outside?
I did.
What was it like?
It was, honestly, it was bad in the morning, but, you know, by the afternoon it stopped raining, which was around the time Kathy Hochul declared a state of emergency, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I didn't notice anything too bad either when I woke up. So, anyway, Grammar Corner. I've got a couple things. First of all, Nikon, you had mentioned last time about people saying especially.
Uh-huh.
I can't unhear now. I hear so many people saying it now, and it is so annoying.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm just thinking, man, are you insane for thinking that's a word? Anyway.
Or like how it's spelled, yeah.
How it's spelled. Oh, so the other thing I wanted to say is people often mispronounce the word asterisk, and that bugs me. They'll say asterix, and I'm just thinking, okay, there's no...
Similarly with et cetera, they'll say et cetera.
Right, they'll say et cetera, yeah.
Wait a minute, what is it?
It's et cetera.
Et cetera.
ETC.
Oh, right.
And et cetera. So they'll say asterix, and sometimes people say asterisk.
Oh, I think I might say et cetera sometimes, actually.
Et cetera. Et cetera. Et cetera. Et cetera.
I say it's... I say it's wait, well, no, it's what do I say? Et cetera. I say et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. That sounds like some drug, like a like yeah, a pharmaceutical or something like that. Yeah. Et cetera. Is, yeah.
But yeah, sometimes people will say asterisk as well, or asterisk, I've heard. But I'm just saying.
I've heard asterisk. I've heard that too. That's ridiculous.
And it's ridiculous. I'm like, the S is not silent here. It just, it's... And I've, in the same way that you've heard people who were otherwise seemingly smart say especially, I hear people who are otherwise seemingly smart say...
I think especially
asterisk or something like
I'm
that.
Sorry. I mean, yes, that's bad.
It's asterisk.
Like especially is... That's a different level of inexplicability. I got it.
Inexplicability.
Well, but yeah,
I do want to say I can understand asterisk, because it almost seems like there's, it's like kind of an X.
Asterisk.
Kind of has this sort of like,
asterisk.
You know, the way it looks almost seems like multiple X's, you know, together in a way.
Gemma Leslie just commented, "Who's Rick, and are we putting out ass to him?" Because ass to Rick.
Oh, right. That's right.
That's funny. So those are my gripes for the week.
My gripe was what was my gripe?
I mean, as far as grammar is concerned.
Disconcerting. I hear people say disconcerting, which is almost a contradiction. I mean, it's, first of all, it's not a word, but you're
right.
Basically,
it is like a you're right. Yeah.
It's a contradiction of itself. It's either concerning or it's disconcerting, which is not concerning, which is not what you're trying to say, which is disconcerting.
Right, right.
It's almost like
But then is there a concerning?
Establishmentarianism kind of a thing, you know, where it's like...
Yeah, but disconcerting.
Wait, no.
I mean, well, actually, maybe is
no, it's the opposite of what they're trying to say.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Right, it's the opposite of what they're trying to say.
Because also disconcerting isn't a word. So you... If it was, then you could argue they're just misusing.
What anyway. About this?
Certing.
What's I? You know, what's irregardless. Sometimes people say irregardless.
Yeah.
But I do that sometimes too, but on purpose, as a joke in a way. But
concerting is a word, but it's like to do something in concert. It's different.
Disconcerting would mean that.
You feel imbalanced out of your kind of concert or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Something like that.
You know what's funny about the word disconcerting is that I've been using that word a little too much lately, and Max has gotten on my case for using that word too much.
I haven't, like, gotten angry with you for doing it.
it's still funny that you think I got angry.
Like
it's funny that you think I got angry. I didn't, but whatever.
No, I'm just kidding about being angry, but I'm just saying you got so, like, riled up, though. It's just like, okay, take it easy.
I don't agree, but okay.
Do we have a topic?
We have evidence.
Well, actually. Hold on. There's just one other thing I wanted to mention. Sorry for smacking my lips there, or tongue, rather.
Why'd you apologize for that?
We'll allow it.
This is just a gripe. It's not grammar gripe. It's not a grammar gripe, but I hate when people sing punchlines to their jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Where they're like, because I'm not going to the bathroom or something like that, you know?
Lack of confidence in the joke. I mean, it's just lazy.
Right.
It's just,
Well,
I agree.
I mean, there's a lot about, we can talk about stand-up and the gripes I have with certain stand-up things.
Especially
that
when
are,
it comes to John Mulaney, am I right?
It's so funny.
I'd be remiss.
It's so funny.
The age-old beef between the Weinbach twins and John Mulaney.
It's funny. I was,
yes,
when
let's
I was
get
editing,
some more subscribers with that debate.
When I was editing the last episode.
I'm gonna lean into that now.
So we've got, we had some homework from the last week. If you missed the last episode, we talked about Taylor Swift, and we tried to get at the root of this phenomenon of Taylor Swift, because all of us...
And it is nothing short of a phenomenon.
Right. And all of us...
One might say it's phenomenal.
Well, one might, but not us. Anyway,
I wouldn't.
We all don't get it. We don't understand. We all didn't understand why people think she's so great.
Well,
and so our
say what is phenomenal is her net worth. I mean, whoa. It is pretty phenomenal.
I know.
I looked it up before this
what
podcast
is it?
Started.
$750 million.
Like $750 million. Holy cow. She's almost a billionaire. Cow. She's three quarters of the way there, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, the homework for us to get a better understanding of Taylor Swift was we each of us was going to listen to an album by her, a different one.
Yes.
And we will, and I think this episode right now is going to be devoted to sharing our thoughts about the album, and maybe we'll get into other topics too.
I'm just going to put it out right
no
now.
Promises.
I did not complete the homework. I did a couple of songs, but I've been really busy actually. Sorry.
Well, let's start with you then, Max.
Okay. I listened to two songs.
Off which album?
Red.
The album Red.
The album Red.
Which album is that? Is it the album Red?
Yes.
No, which like
album
number
is that? What, does that mean?
What year?
Came out in 2012, and it was, okay. I guess, noted for a change, starting her change in a different style, I guess.
Oh. So away from country and more towards just like, just aggressive.
More
pop
just
star.
Pop, I guess.
Yeah.
Because definitely, okay, I'll, the first two songs in the album, the first song was called, let's see, what is it called? It's called State of Grace. And if you listen to that song, now, by the way, this was like nominated and I think won like certain American Country Music Award stuff.
That song or the album?
The album.
Song. Oh, the album. Okay. Red. Okay.
But the first song on there, boy, does that not sound country at all, actually. It's just a straight up a pop song.
I vaguely remember this moment of Taylor Swift, like, cause she was a country singer.
She was, yeah.
Several albums. And then like, it was, I remember that being a moment when they were like, is she even country anymore? What is this? What are we listening to?
Right.
I think I love it. I'm going to be obsessed with her for the rest of my life.
Well, Cammy says that sounds like punishment, the homework that we had.
Yeah. Well, isn't all homework usually punishment in a way?
Well, so Max, what did you think about these first two songs that you heard?
Well, the first song.
Do you get it?
Well, here's what I will say. Now, the first song, sonically, was interesting, actually. I thought, oh, there's some interesting things going on here. It feels very crisp and clean. And
from an engineering standpoint?
From an engineering standpoint. And, like, there's a cool, just production-wise, there's some cool distorted effects and stuff like that. It made me think, this is definitely not a... I mean, it definitely did not sound country at all.
Well,
and
sure.
By a songwriting standard, I mean, it doesn't... I mean, I don't think it's a great... Like, even as far as pop tunes go, even modern pop tunes, it was a bit subpar in that, like, it was almost there, I feel. I wasn't, like... I wasn't disgusted by it or anything like that, you know?
Okay.
And I kind of, though, listening to it, I thought, okay, I can understand why people like her, actually, in a way. I don't necessarily...
You're starting to kind of get it, maybe.
I can sort of get it, but I don't...
Yeah.
I don't get the big hype around her, though, necessarily. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I don't think... What differentiates her from other, you know, pop artists so much that there's these...
I think...
Hugely devoted Swiftie fans, you know?
I've been thinking about it. I think part of it... is an aspirational sense that she represents me.
Like, okay. What people want to be.
Yes, she's a hot. No, not even what they want. Like the same way a lot of Trump people see in Trump themselves. Mm-hmm. And their worlds could not be any more different, but they're like, they identify with him or with her. And I'm not going to stand here and compare her to Trump, but I think there's a similar,
well, the album's called Red.
There's a similar aspirational, like, yeah, like I'm her. And yes, sure, she's way hotter than I am and way more successful than I'll ever be and blah, blah, blah. But that's me up there on the stage.
Well, I think that...
And I think that's why people are so emotionally attached to her.
Sure. I think part of it was that she just kind of... She started, I think, in the mid-2000s and kind of worked her way up to becoming this phenomenon. Yeah. And I think she... And people identify with her writing her own songs. Like there's kind of an independent spirit behind her, I guess, and kind of a go get 'em kind of, like I'm gonna take the bull by the horns. I'm gonna take the bull by the horns and try and succeed in this music industry.
So
she did, and I think people, kind of like to champion that kind of spirit.
Okay, so
she wasn't plucked necessarily, and
She probably was, but
no, she wasn't. I think she went to Nashville. I think this is her story. I think she went to Nashville, started trying to get going herself. I think she was really motivated and tenacious. I think
I know, but
I don't know a whole lot about her story.
Here's the thing: a lot of pop stars. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they get a record deal from sending in demos, like good demos or something like that. But it's not like a band when they got big, it was from touring extensively and building up a fan base.
She did that for a while. She was like playing around in Nashville. I think correct me if I'm wrong.
Max, I've got a lot of rebuttals to what you just said, but I wrote down all my notes and it's included in my notes for the album. So
why don't you get into it then? What? Did you have more to say, Max?
Well, didn't you want me to keep going with the album, what I thought? I mean, the two songs.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
So there was that song, and I just thought, as far as a pop song goes, like it almost sounded like U2-ish, actually, to be honest. But it just felt like, okay, yeah, I can kind of grasp why people like her. As far as a song goes, I think there could have been more things done. Second song, then it started sounding more country, for sure. Like country pop country, you know? There was some banjo stuff going on in there. And that one, it definitely had like I think one of the lyrics was... your love reminds me of a Maserati, something or other. Like there's this comparison to a car, like brand, like that's something they do in country music all the time is, you know,
product placement,
you know, it's this product placement of a car in there, you know, by the brand name of the car. It just was pretty, it was so cliche. I just thought it was funny to hear that. And that song I didn't think was as good actually.
And that's as far as you got on that.
And that's as far as I got.
You didn't get to "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together."
I didn't know, but I think that was one of the standout songs, right? Isn't that one of the standout songs?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was
we
Max's
never,
thought.
Ever getting back together.
Ever.
Those are Max's thoughts on what he had listened to so far.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
So I've been working
trying to finish
this sheet music for the musical that's coming up on November 18th and 19th.
who's next?
I can go next. I also only partially...
you didn't finish
did
the homework either.
Well, no, let me finish. I partially did it in that I listened to the entire album, Fearless.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But I listened to it very passively. Mm-hmm. And on very low volume.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like a dipping of the toe. But I will say there were a handful of songs, and I wouldn't be able to identify them because, again, it was very passive, my first listening. There were a handful of songs, you know, whether it was the chord progression or something, that I was like, okay, I get it. Like, she's not a bad songwriter. She's not a bad singer.
No.
I get it.
Right.
There's skill here.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I kind of came to the conclusion that I get it, but I don't care for it. So maybe that could be the title of this one. Taylor Swift, I don't care for it.
Okay, Taylor Swift, we get it, but...
We get it, but...
We don't care for it.
We don't care for it. Yeah, I don't know. That was my initial... and again, I can't speak specifics because I wasn't really like... reading the lyrics or anything.
Gotcha.
Like that. But yeah. And I also, interestingly, I think it was this last week, the big news, it's like actual news.
Oh, right.
Is this cross branding, as they're calling it. It's like a cross branding phenomenon between the Taylor Swift brand and the NFL brand.
Sure. Yeah.
Wherein people who would never otherwise watch football are tuning in to watch. I think she's dating, or like, but there's rumors that are like suspicious. They suspect that she's dating the
Travis Kelce from the the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think it's all a PR stunt. I think it's a PR stunt for sure.
You think the NFL is like paying her or something, or what?
It is hard to imagine. And look, I'm not going to pretend to know how she feels about things, but based on her prior dating experience, her going out with Travis Kelce seems way off base. I mean, you're like,
what's her previous dating experience?
Yeah,
like she went out with John Mayer. She went out with, Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, like. Kind of maybe more, and she went out with like a lot of actors and musicians,
more artsy,
you know?
More artsy guys,
yeah.
Or maybe she was like, I had enough. I'm never, ever going back to them.
These artists.
Never, ever. And so she's like, I'm going with.
Getting back together.
I'm going with that with the jock.
It's possible. Here's the thing though, like, can she do anything in the public eye without it being seen as a publicity stunt at this point? It's like.
That's right. I didn't know about this, like, that these Swifties are now getting on board with football and vice versa.
Yeah,
I didn't know that it was a cross-branding thing. I just had seen blurbs about just them dating.
Also annoying because football is not even the best sport to watch. It's kind of boring, actually.
A lot of people would disagree with you on that.
Ooh, yeah.
It's the number one sport in the country, that's for sure.
I guess, but I actually think that basketball is more of a global phenomenon.
If we're talking global, then we're talking soccer.
No.
It's global.
For the big American sports. Anyway, so
I think baseball's more global than basketball.
I don't know about that, actually. Being in France, a lot of people would talk about...
Sure,
like a lot of the, I would
that's
teach
Eurocentric.
These...
I feel like, you know, Japan...
That's true.
Here's the thing, though.
Latin America.
I actually think that's true. Latin America baseball is huge.
You know how big Michael Jordan was in the 90s? I mean, he was huge internationally.
Yeah, that's different.
He was like the most famous athlete. He was like
Jordan of athletes.
He's like 6'7". That's how big he was.
Yeah, there are few people, few athletes who are as singular as Michael Jordan to this day. So that's
right to this day.
I think that's independent of the sport itself.
Sure.
Independent. Anyway. Independent. It just sounded kind of interesting.
I know. I acknowledge that.
Gemma Leslie said she dated Taylor Lautner. Would you date someone who has the same name as you? That's funny.
Oh, I remember that.
That's a good question. I would.
I would. Yeah. I would love to date a Nikki.
Oh, I've thought about that by myself. And I would love to date him. It would be... Well, you could say Max, but a Maxime, I think, would be...
Right, but what if she...
She went by Max?
Went by Max.
That's okay.
Love it.
It's like Nikki, it's Pat.
Nikki, too, if she went by Nikki.
Well, what if she...
That'd be great.
Well, actually, Nikki sounds definitely, you know, Nikki Taylor was a famous model.
Nikki, of course.
Nikki, do you take?
But what if she went by? What if she went by Nick?
Nikki, do you take Nikki's hand in marriage? That'd be kind of cool.
I like that. Would you date a Nick?
You know, I'd be more open to Nikki. Nick, I don't know. That could be cool. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I like it because it's that way. It's like different, but it's like right, that's, traditionally more masculine sounding, right?
Which right, is, and Nikki's traditionally yeah. kind of more, I guess, feminine sounding, maybe.
But yeah, we're here definitely. To break.
I know more female Nikki's than male Nikki's, for
right?
Sure. Sure.
But we're here to break the societal constructs and say, "Hey, Nick, I haven't actually. I don't think I've ever heard a female Nick before."
No, yeah, I think I
have.
Seen,
you yeah. guys have?
No, no. Oh, I don't think
like
I
as
have,
an affectionate, like affectionate nickname.
It's a. I guess I could see it. I could see it, but no, I've never encountered one.
Anyway, so should I?
So that was my Taylor Swift album experience, but I will say it wasn't grating.
Right.
It was just not my cup of tea.
Right.
It was too country-ish and too pop-ish for me.
Oh, sorry, what album did you listen to?
It was Fearless, which, okay, if we want to talk about... No, it's an annoying title. It's like presumptuous. It's presumptuous. You're like, I am fearless. I don't even remember the lyrics. I don't even think...
Well, but it's also a very...
What year did it come out?
2008.
Oh, that's probably one of her first albums.
That's one of her first ones.
It's her second album. I wanted to like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But also Fearless does sound like this, it's almost like you put no thought into an album title and just thought, yeah. I'm fearless.
I will
I'll
say,
call it
but
fearless.
it is the first song. And actually that was one of the more, from a chord progression standpoint, more dynamic and satisfying.
Oh, okay.
Of the songs that I heard.
Maybe she thought, I'm going to
come out swinging,
be fearless about.
As
you know,
fearless,
about
yeah,
my
fearless
harmonic structure, and then let's go out, you know, start strong.
And yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, I get it. She's talented. She's obviously attractive. Not that that's like how you should define her, but like that is, I think it's part of her, part of it, part of her.
All right.
Just
Gemma Lessons.
Don't.
It wasn't
like
grating,
it.
But it wasn't great.
That's funny. So this is my experience. I actively listened to the album. I listened to the whole thing. The album was 1989, and it came out in 2014. And there's no semblance of country music on this album at all.
That's okay.
So
okay, but
these are the notes that I have.
Was it called a country album when it came out?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, well, who cares? Yeah.
This might be the worst album I've ever subjected myself to listen to all the way through. Listen to all the way through.
Okay.
Not only do the songs sound like they were made for preteen girls, the lyrics sound like they were written by a preteen.
Well, there's nothing wrong.
Well, this isn't a critique.
Hold on. Let me get into it.
Okay.
These are my thoughts.
Yeah, okay.
They lack any semblance of sophistication. Player is gonna hate,
oh,
whatever.
I hate that song. That song is on that. I hate.
First
that
of all,
Shake It
that's
Off.
Those lyrics are so annoying.
Jesus,
and
it's so annoying.
They also seem inauthentic. Taylor
Shake
Swift.
It
almost seems
off.
Like she's trying to sound like something or someone that she's not. You know, and
Shake It Off is such a bad song. I'm sorry.
She's kind of this album makes her seem phony or plastic, you know, lyrically yeah. and musically. It seems like she has not had any real life experience beyond breaking up with guys, as you had mentioned before, and it shows on this. Almost every song is about breaking up with a guy or something like that, you know, like Shake It Off. I read that she tried to capture an 80s pop sensibility with this album, but 80s pop generally had more sophisticated, you know, was more sophisticated musically and lyrically, and it didn't sound derivative. This music not only doesn't accomplish sounding like the music from the 80s, it sounds derivative of the music of the mid-2010s, of pop music. It doesn't even sound like the songs are unique enough for me to feel like, I can see why this was a hit, you know? It doesn't sound like it's breaking any new ground at all. And I don't think one needs to necessarily break new ground. You know, our own music has very much a retro feel to it. But I don't see any reason why this music would be critically lauded in any way, you know?
Lauded?
Yeah. Can you say...
Was it critically lauded?
It was, yes. And
it was.
And I just thought...
Because commercially, of course, but critically
How can critics lower their standards that much, you know?
Again, we're talking about critics of a specific genre.
Well, that's not always true. There's critics who review
everything.
Like Robert Christou, even though I don't like him as a music critic, he's always wrong and he's always behind the times. Like he notoriously, I think, rated a couple Beatles albums and I think even Pet Sounds as lackluster. And I'm just thinking he's so wrong about that, you know?
Didn't he retire recently?
You know, Taylor Swift's voice,
or no, Bob Boylan did.
Pitchfork gave it a 7.7. That's not lauding or lauding.
It is actually. That's pretty high. I mean, if it hits 8.2, that's when Pitchfork is saying,
"This is a classic.
You got to listen to this album." So she came pretty close to them saying that, which is hard to believe. Well, just considering, like, I've seen some of the reviews of other albums that I think are really great. Like that teen album, that song Tokyo is on, I think they gave it like 6 point something. And I'm just thinking, this is way better than this Taylor Swift album. Anyway, so her voice is really inauthentic. I mean, it's not like she's necessarily affecting her voice, which is a good thing, but I would not be able to pick out her voice just based purely on her vocal stylings.
Red got a 9 on Pitchfork. Red, I'm sorry.
Well, not only that, it's on the 2020 Rolling Stone greatest albums of all time list.
Hard to believe, right?
Good Lord. All right, keep going.
I know, isn't that?
So her voice just has an...
Finish the whole album.
Her voice sound has an unoriginal sound. It sounds mass produced, you know, for pop radio. Like I don't. If I were to hear a Taylor Swift song that I had never heard before, I would not be able to tell that that's Taylor Swift singing.
Well,
you know?
I actually could tell that was her voice.
Hold on, Max.
On this album.
This is a pop album, though, you know?
No, I know. I'm just saying. Even the first song I was talking about, it did not sound like a country song at all. I could tell that that's her voice, though.
You know? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is she's not doing anything too egregious with her voice, but it does sound... cookie cutter computerized. Like this is what an AI would create for a voice of the prototypical derivative pop artist of today, you know?
That is true though. I will say, even if it were Taylor Swift, an AI can mimic, you know, her voice pretty good now, actually, I'm sure.
That she has basically become the prototype for pop music? Could be a chicken egg situation.
That's the second time you've said chicken egg situation.
Is it today?
Yeah.
When did I say it before?
We were talking about undershirts with
the sweating. Yeah. But hey, I stand by it.
Anyway,
you know, like through her success, she's become the prototypical sound.
Well, I don't know if she's... there's other prototypical sounds.
I don't know.
I think the sound that she's
utilizing had been invented beforehand. Anyway, it's not good. I thought she at least wrote all her own songs, but according to the liner notes, it looks like there are at least a few songwriters on each of her songs.
Well, you can't hold that.
And on some of them, she was not even credited as a songwriter. I agree. That's okay, but that's something that people say is good about. Like, don't lie about it. You know,
I don't think she's ever claimed to write 100% of her songs. She writes some of her songs.
But I do think there's maybe too many cooks in the kitchen.
Louder.
But I will say, even if she did write the music, that's not really anything special.
So what's your point?
There's lots of mediocre to bad musicians who write their own material. That's like saying, just because a musical's on Broadway... it's automatically good. But no, it's not. The production.
So where do you actually stand? Are you critiquing her for not writing her own music?
Right. What are you saying about
it? Doesn't matter if she does or not.
I'm critiquing the Swifties.
Who hold her on a pedestal. Yes. But using one of the attributes as saying that she's so great is that she writes her own songs.
Right.
That's what maybe they would claim all of their favorites are the ones that she wrote.
But yeah, it's like saying a Broadway, just because a show is on Broadway, it's automatically good. I mean, the production design can be professional and respectable, but the talent could be there, but all that really exists is emptiness. As you said, vapidity last time. If the music is not memorable, then we shouldn't be praising it. Especially the song Bad Blood, which was on there. It's so stupid. The lyrics are so juvenile. I cannot believe that any critic would take this music seriously.
Yeah, that's a bad song, too. Ugh. It's, you know what I hate? Is that I know, like, as soon as you say some of these titles, I'm like, oh, I've heard this song 1,000 times, and it's never been my choice, because it's just on. It's all ubiquitous, and I can't stand the fact that I know, like, some of the choruses.
I hate the lyric. I said, haters gonna hate.
That's almost as bad as the
cringing from you just doing that right now.
The worst lyrics... Have we talked about this? Are the Black Eyed Peas?
We did talk about it.
Tonight's gonna be a good night. Oh yeah, I think I've talked.
That was one of our more. None of our clips are viral, but that got more hits though that one than the others.
And I don't think we can solve them. Yeah, you make it a really deal. Oh, yeah.
If you listen to the song, baby, now you're just songs like Bad Blood really made me think. Oh, this sounds like it was written by a 12-year-old. The lyrics sound like they were written by a 12-year-old.
And I think that's part of the appeal. It's like it's accessible. It's accessible. Seriously. No, seriously.
So does that mean that we've lowered our standards considerably for good pop music?
But think about, okay, listen. Big Beatles fan, right? But like, She Loves You, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
That's dumb.
No, you're, look.
That's a dumb lyric.
No, they were... Some of their lyrics, in the beginning were not that.
Yeah.
They were really easy. Not great.
Nikon.
But then they really progressed.
In just a matter of a year, actually. No, of course.
Nikon, that's a time and place, because when the Beatles came out with She Loves You,
you're right.
That was all pop songs, or a lot of them sounded like that.
Now we've reverted back.
No. But also, I would
history
at
repeats
least,
itself.
You know, even if the lyrics were, let's say, simplistic, at least they rhymed. At least, and I'm not saying everything has to rhyme, but oh, did you know that Bad Blood was co-written by Kendrick Lamar? That's interesting. Or that's what it says here.
I'm still fine with She Loves You. All, yeah, as a lyric, by the way, it works for that
have
song.
To rhyme, but like, right. Clearly with this. Bad blood, because baby, now we've got bad blood. You know what used to be mad love.
I sound
like an old man here.
Used to be mad love. That sounds stupid.
Because baby, now we've got bad blood. So it's
not even just the lyrics, but it's how they're delivered. So the lyrics to She Loves You. If you were just to read it, it might not be as good. But the way they deliver it, they sing it with such exuberance, and maybe it's just because the melody is so good to it that I'm just thinking, well, I don't have a problem with these.
Let me say something about this though. When they were auditioning the song for their father, for Paul's dad, when they were writing it, and they said She Loves You, yeah, 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 and the dad was like, it's a catchy tune, but. Enough with these Americanisms, you know, with yeah, yeah, yeah. Why not yes, yes, yes? And he didn't.
It's the
same thing kind of what you're doing right now is maybe you're just so far removed from the youths, like the way they talk, that you don't quite get it, you know, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't.
I guess that's the purpose. Taylor Swift,
we don't get it, I guess. I don't get contemporary hip hop where it's like there's just repeating the same 17 80s, words and you call it a song.
Bad, yes.
Nikon, it's not even that.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
It's not even that.
Even
there's no virtuosity.
I'm talking about Nikon, the verbiage. You know, like Nikki was saying the way some of the things she's saying, it just doesn't. I don't. Why would she say it that like that? Or and it's like, well, maybe we just don't. Maybe we just don't get it. You know that
it's a chicken egg situation.
Well, Nikon, you're right about the hip hop thing. Actually, Snoop Dogg called it out.
This is a few years ago,
where the rhythms are all the same too. Like the. It go. They go. Like it's these triplets.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no virtuosity.
Well, I think we're even past that. We've even degraded. It's the quality's even degraded even more. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
But
I agree. Yeah.
You know, after listening to this album, I can safely say that I still don't get it. I really don't. I mean,
you don't get the appeal to a young, or even you don't even have to be. Here's the thing.
I don't get it for this main reason. And that is
it.
The songs melodically are just not catchy enough. In my opinion, they're not good enough. They're lazy. The melodies are lazy, and I can recognize when a pop song. Is catch. I can see why certain pop songs today are hits.
But look, Shake It Off. Objectively horrific. Objectively. Like you give that to a computer and you say, is this horrific or not? It will say it's horrific. I get how it's catchy though. I do.
Okay. I kind of do, but I think there are other pop hits that are just
well, yeah,
they're
but
more memorable, in my opinion. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Listen, yes, I agree. That's why we all agree on that.
What's memorable about it is her repeating the same word over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's not the melody itself.
Sometimes get in their head that just because something repeats, that suffices to make a song. But that's just lazy writing.
I mean, that actually comes to like aesthetics theory. Where the human mind is programmed to seek patterns, and
yes.
It's satisfied when it sees repetition or pattern.
Absolutely,
rhyme. That's the whole reason rhyme exists. Well, so
yes.
So it is actually that. Speaking of objective, is like there are some like objective truths to aesthetics, objective from like a we can all agree we're all humans type of thing.
From a neurological standpoint, we like what we're familiar with actually.
Familiarity, but even more like fundamentally, it comes down to like pattern recognition. So like ideally, from an aesthetic standpoint, there's a mix of pattern establishment and pattern. Straying away from.
Yes. No, that's
because that too is satisfying because it's like that's.
Well, you don't want it to repeat too much because it gets monotonous. Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying. I heard this on NPR actually, an interesting conversation about, what makes it satisfying to us to what gets the neurons firing when we hear our favorite song or something.
What are you
like
looking
that,
up,
you know?
Nikon?
I'm looking at the Shake It Off lyrics. Just hate reading, I guess. it's awful. Keep you talking though.
It's just awful.
It's like, you know, Buddy Holly, for instance, he had some really simple songs, but it's very satisfying to hear. And because there is something, we know he's about to go from the five chord to the one, and you know, we expect it to happen and we feel satisfied when it does resolve to the one chord or something like that.
Listen,
there's a resolution,
but it's also, it's also why do we keep tuning into that? Because there's something familiar about it. It makes us feel good. That's why I guess there's something about nostalgia that makes us feel good when we hear something that sounds similar to a song we've heard in the past. And you're like, I like it because it's familiar, you know?
This is a really bad lyric, but I keep cruising, can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's going to be all right.
It's really bad.
Also, there's no rhyme. I mean, there's two words that rhyme again from that, but
that's what people say. that's what people say.
It's just awful. It's so stupid. Oh, gosh.
Gemma Leslie brings up there's some shame with getting these songs stuck in your head. It is catchy, not good, but catchy. And I think that's what it comes down to. It can be, so things can be catchy, and we can understand that they are, yeah, catchy, I guess.
Well, by the way, that Blank Space song was on this 1989 album as well.
There were
a lot of quote unquote hits on here.
Bangers.
Shake It Off, Blank Space, Bad Blood. Now, I will say there was one song on there that I thought, okay, this isn't bad.
What song was it?
The lyrics weren't good, but the song was called Wildest Dreams.
Wildest
In
Dreams.
Your wildest... It's the Moody Blues song,
yeah. But it's just... Anyway, okay. But it's also another one of these, talking about a boy, you know, that you broke up with, you know, kind
look,
of thing.
Breakups, that's, you no, know,
look, that's
rife with potential for...
I'm okay with that, but if that's all you're writing about, it kind of makes me think that you lack any real life experience, really, you know?
Well...
Which maybe she does. I mean, she's been famous since she was what, like 15?
Something like that, yeah. No, you're right. And that could be a reason.
She does get around, though, yeah.
Cammy said she gets around.
We are coming up.
She gets around, much like the Beach Boys do.
We should wrap things up, though.
Yeah. And so I guess, all right, so two of us get it but don't care for it. One of us continues to not get it. Is that right?
Yeah. I will argue, though, that you guys listened to two albums that were a lot earlier in her career. That may have been why that she got popular initially, but she doesn't...
Well, we should caveat it again by saying Max listened to two songs.
I did.
And I just barely listened to an entire album.
That's true.
No, I do want to also say something is... To Nikki's point, because Nikon, you're saying, but it's you're saying, oh, it's made for these teeny boppers, but
yeah.
But the thing is, there's a lot of these big time fans that have followed her career from the late 2000s that continue to be fans of hers, and they still like this music. They go to concerts of hers, and they're in their 20s, in their late 20s, even
30s, 40s, 50s, even. I think it's because they speak to their inner child. I think that's why.
Funny. I've been noticing a trend in pop music lately where it seems like these artists, for the first time in their lives, have discovered the major and minor 7 chords. And so I'm hearing a lot of 1-6-2-5-1s, if you guys, anybody's... knows
you
anything about
like,
music theory,
but you mean it's like what's his
using,
name?
It's like they're using the 7th
from One Direction. What's his name?
Right. It's like they're using the 7th.
What's his name though?
For the
Harry
first,
Styles.
For the first time in their lives, and they think, oh, because I'm using that, that's automatically going to make my song catchy. And
it sometimes does.
And it sometimes does. But so I, admittedly, I just a couple of hours ago listened to the new NSYNC song that just came out.
Oh, and thoughts?
And I thought, this sounds derivative of what everybody's doing right now, which is using this 1-6-2-5-1 with a 7 in their chords, and they think this is automatically going to make it catchier, and it does to a degree, but it sounds like everything else that's
sure.
Being put out
I
now.
Mean,
sure.
What's her name? What's her name? Hannah Montana. What's her name?
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. She's got one of those kinds of songs out, and that is pretty darn catchy too. Yeah. But
you are familiar with the phenomenon known as reaction videos, right, Nikon?
Yes.
And Max and I actually have done them in the past, from a standpoint that we've listened to each of these songs for 1,000 times. And it started off as a joke, but then people started enjoying our.
Our deep analysis,
deep
of
analysis
songs.
Of it, having listened to the song so much.
But it's also,
I'm noticing with some of the, a lot of these reaction videos.
Sometimes.
it almost seems like, I know this is going to sound elitist, but it sounds like a lot of these people are just completely uncultured. Like they, what were they exposed to as kids? Like these people were watching Austin Powers for the first time in their lives, and they're not young. They're like Which our happens. Age. And yeah, I'm just yeah. thinking, they were like, I think I've heard of Austin Powers before. And I'm thinking, what? Were you not alive, you know, in the late 90s? And they were.
Yeah, well, many people weren't. They were.
Okay. They were, you know. Some of these people are like, you know, have, you know, families and stuff. Okay. And I'm just thinking, right. how is it possible to have avoided these big cultural phenomenons, you know? And that's
phenomena.
Phenomena, you're right. And so that's what's really... That's why I think sometimes these reaction videos, or no, they are honest, but...
Well, maybe they're not being that honest.
But
sometimes.
I'm just thinking...
Who knows? Maybe they're just good actors.
Also, you know what really gets me about these reaction videos? Sometimes they'll react to a song, like, say, by the Beatles, and they're like, oh, man, I really like this song. But they won't bother to listen to the rest of the album. And I'm just thinking, why would you... If you like the Beatles that much after being introduced to them so much through this reaction channel, you should listen to their whole albums all the way through. They were made to be listened that way, you know?
I just to get Trust back me. On this topic,
What's Austin Powers?
To some final notes, I just want to say something. You were saying we have to say that at least they're catchy. To me, there's a difference between catchy and just incessant repetitiveness.
Though. Right.
Like... A catchiness has a hook. Like, for instance, there are certain NSYNC songs from the late 90s and early 2000s and Britney Spears songs that, while they are cheesy and not great, I do say they are quite catchy,
yeah,
actually.
Oops, I Did It Again.
Oops, I Did It Again is a very catchy, memorable song.
It is.
Now...
Is it good?
Some of these songs, though, that you're talking about right now, they are repetitive... But they are not catchy to me. There's not a hook to it. That isn't like...
Besides repeating the same word.
I can't sink my teeth into them as
you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, there's a good way of being repetitive, and then there's the Taylor Swift way. yeah, but I will admit that I kind of get it. I do kind of get
well,
it.
I will admit that I kind of, based on my two songs...
I don't care for it.
And more so the first song I heard, I get it
no,
to a degree.
Hold on. To a
He's
degree.
Nikon, he gets it. He gets
to
it.
To a degree.
He Nikon, gets it. He gets it.
No, Nikon, the original argument was you didn't get why she has this completely devoted fan base.
No. My original... conceit was I just don't get it. I don't get it, period. That's the whole, you know, remember I just kept saying that over and over again.
But what is it? What is it?
I just didn't get it.
So you could, okay, so here's, maybe we should rephrase this. You get why people might like her songs, but do you understand why there's this huge devoted fan base, Swifties, more than any other pop star?
Well, that's just good PR and good, you know.
No, she really speaks to this inner child in an aspirational way.
No, but I think that's
to it, and it's accessible. And what more do you want? That's pop for you.
But I think
accessible.
I think that's good. Also,
like a more innocent thing.
But I think that's good PR too, actually, in like just the way it's branded too. You know,
of course. But like, you know, you could spend $1 billion on PR and not. Reach the level of success.
Sure,
that she has.
You can't. But you know, it goes. It's the same thing with the Beliebers. You know, Justin Bieber. You know, I mean, you know.
Gemma Leslie said our next homework will be to go to a concert of hers.
What?
Whoa!
I don't think I could ever spend the money on doing that.
If somebody paid for my ticket, I could do it. But I'm not going to spend that $200. Yeah, if somebody paid for my ticket,
why did you pay much money?
Seems like it would be a horrible experience to even go if somebody paid a ticket for me.
I would say,
I would, of course, but like
you
in
can,
the interest of gonzo journalism,
they would have to pay for my ticket and then pay me the exact amount that they paid for the ticket because it's going to. That's labor.
You
right
know
there.
What? That's a
That's
really
true.
Great
yeah,
premise for
o'clock.
An article, actually, is going to a concert, knowing you don't like her music, but going for the first time to see her live.
Yeah. I love it.
Gosh, that would just...
You hear that, Pitchfork?
If somebody wants to pay us to go to a Taylor Swift concert, we would consider it.
I would do it. I wouldn't have to.
Talking about all things considered.
No, veto. Veto on that joke.
Why? Because there's music, all things considered music. Anyway.
I get it. I just, you know, come on. You got to try harder with the wordplay, guys.
Well, come on. Anyway, I'm trying as hard as the level of the Taylor Swift songs. That's the level I'm trying right now.
So, all right. The consensus, we got two that say they now get it, but they don't care for it. They got one, me, who still doesn't get it and doesn't care for it. You know, I think that we should start a new segment on this show, by the way.
Where we're just constantly listening to Taylor Swift albums.
No, not that.
It's like the worst homework ever.
I thought the new segment should be the music corner, where we introduce something that we're listening to currently that we like and we want to share.
Or that we dislike. I like that idea too.
That could be fun.
It can be one song or an album. You know, we'll just take a brief moment to just say,
well, let's see how it feels next week. Let's try it out.
Yeah. But I will say, just for this week, go check out Brigitte Calls Me Baby, the song Eddie My Love. It's really good.
And of course, our band, done so yet.
Check out our new.
I know Gemma and Cammy have. But
check out our new album. Who do you want to be?
For anyone else who sees this later or hears this later, our album. Who do you want to be? Silhouette City.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon.
Please keep tuning in.